Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Freedom. Freedom is a powerful thing. You know, one might argue that there's nothing more in life that people desire than freedom. Just think of what people are willing to risk for their freedom. Just think of how fiercely people are willing to fight for their freedom. Parents of teenagers, maybe you're thinking right now, yeah, that's about right. Sounds about right. But just think of the wars throughout history in our country and others around the world. The wars that have been fought for the sake of freedom. People are willing to risk their lives and give up their lives for freedom. In our own nation's history, you think of our own fight for independence, and Patrick Henry comes to mind, right? Give me liberty or give me death. He and his comrades preferred death to not being free. Freedom is a precious commodity. It's a powerful thing. When my family and I were in Ireland a few weeks ago, I kept seeing t-shirts and sweatshirts like this for sale. And so it's Ireland, established 1922. And I was puzzled every time I saw these because I thought, Ireland is a whole lot older than 1922. And then I remembered what I'd read about Ireland's history from guidebooks and stuff. 1922 was the year that Ireland won its independence, its freedom from Mother England, and became the Irish Free State. And then later they became the Republic of Ireland. Ireland is a free country as of 1922. And the Irish are quite loud and proud about it. Freedom is a precious commodity. It is a powerful thing. You know, some people mistake Christianity for the wrong kind of religion. You know, some people view Christianity as the opposite of freedom. They see the Bible as this book of teachings that constrict us and confine us, a set of rules that we've got to follow, otherwise we face retaliation from God, the Almighty Rule Giver. And yet, this is not what Christianity is at all. The sad truth is that over the years, throughout history, people have manipulated Christianity and caricaturized Christianity and made it degenerate into, at times, this man-made, rule-based religion. And yet, this is not the essence of Christianity at all. This is not the essence of what it truly means to be a Christ follower. Christianity is all about freedom. So today we begin a new series, and it's called Truths That Set Us Free. And you might recognize that statement from what Jesus said, the truth shall set you free, from our gospel reading. This is what Christianity is really all about. So in this series, what we're going to do is we're going to revel in this freedom, this central and core teaching and message of Christianity, our freedom in Christ. But not just that, not just the core of Christianity about its freedom. But you know, freedom is what permeates so many other teachings and truths of God's Word. The Bible is chock full, just like it says, truths that set us free. Truths that set us free from these natural burdens of life and from the misunderstandings of Christianity. Let's start today, then, by exploring that central core truth of our faith, freedom. So you heard Paul say it, you heard Jesus say it. They didn't say it with these words, but pretty much this is what they said. Everyone has a master. There's no one out there that doesn't have a master. There's no one out there that isn't a slave to someone or something. Either sin is your master, or God is your master. There's no in-between, there's no neutrality, there's no, you know, a third alternative. You're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to God. In our lesson from Romans, Paul is laying out for believers and encouraging them that even though they once were slaves to sin, we heard him say, no longer are they slaves to sin. Here's what he said. Count yourselves dead to sin but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. For sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law, but under grace. Sin ceased to be our master as soon as God adopted us into his family through baptism. He became our adoptive father, and he became our gracious master. So that's why Paul said these words. He said, now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. That is the central core teaching of Christianity. This is the essence of our faith. We are free from sin. I'm free from sin's consequences. I'm free from sin's condemnation and death. I'm no longer a slave to sin, but now a slave to Christ and a slave to righteousness, as Paul says it. There's only one problem with this. And maybe you got an inkling of it. Maybe you felt a twinge of it when I said we're slaves to Christ and we're slaves to righteousness. The problem is this. Part of me is backwards. Part of me feels a glorious kind of freedom whenever I sin. And that same part of me, when God's expectations are shared with me, his laws, his rules, his commands, part of me bristles under those expectations. Part of me feels like those are slavery. And that same part of me feels suffocated by God's expectations. You know, what is slavery? Slavery, by definition, is just to lose your own will, right? It's to lose one's own will and to do the bidding of somebody else. But you know what? I don't want to do somebody else's will. I want to do my own will. I want what I want. I don't want to be a slave to God or anybody. And at times, I want to sin. That is, my sinful nature wants to sin. In my sinful nature, sin feels like freedom. And we all love freedom, right? I mean, freedom is our unalienable right as humans. Probably the most detestable thing, you know, in our culture, as our culture views it, is to restrict somebody's freedom to live and to act the way that they want. That is detestable. And you know what? To my sinful nature feels that same revilement when somebody tries to limit my freedom to live the way that I want to live. How dare somebody take away my freedom? How dare somebody tell me that I need to be a slave to their will? So maybe we don't say it. Maybe we haven't thought it consciously. How dare you, God, for limiting my freedom to live the way I want? But have we secretly, have we silently, have we subconsciously resented God for limiting our freedom by his expectations? You know, living as a believer is not, it's not the easy road, right? It's not an easy thing. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And yet, my sinful nature wants freedom to be easy. My sinful nature says, being a slave to righteousness, that's drudgery. That's a chore. That's not the path of least resistance. Freedom is supposed to be the path of least resistance. Freedom is supposed to be the absence of friction, the absence of difficulty, the absence of effort. Well, this is why we bristle under God's expectations. This is why often when we do, submit to God's will for our lives and his expectations, why we do so reluctantly and resentfully. And this is why sometimes we don't. This is why sometimes we disobey God's expectations, because we think to ourselves, okay, well, I know this is the right thing to do, but I don't see any good in it. So if there's nothing good that's going to come of it, well, I'm going to do things my way. And this is why sometimes we even rationalize our sin by saying to ourselves, what bad could come of it? I'm forgiven already. What's the big deal? But to those words and to that rationalization, here's what Paul says. Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Paul's point and Jesus' point in our gospel reading is that to obey sin is to become sin's slave. It is to make sin your master all over again. This is the way my sinful nature is wired. My sinful nature is wired to feel this kind of sense of freedom when I sin. And it's wired to feel constricted and confined and suffocated when demands are put on it. But like I said, this part of me, this part of you, this is backwards. Because the truth is, this so-called freedom that we feel when we sin, it's a phony freedom. It's a false freedom. And you know what? Sometimes the Lord gives us a glimpse into this phoniness of freedom from sin. Sometimes he gives us a glimpse into why it's a fake freedom. I want to share just two ways, kind of three ways, that we get a glimpse of the phoniness of sin's freedom. The first is this. We glimpse the phoniness of sin's freedom, first of all, by the hardships that sin brings into our lives. Because it's not like sin ever brings good into our lives. It doesn't. Whether we notice it or not, whether we see it or not, whether we sense it or not, sin always brings some kind of harm into our lives and into the lives of those around us. And sometimes this is a gracious thing that the Lord lets us see. Paul said this and made the point to the Romans too. He said, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at the time from the things you are now ashamed of? Nothing good comes of it. Here's the flip side of the coin. Sometimes the Lord not only shows us the harm that sin brings into our lives, but he sometimes shows us the goodness, the blessedness that comes from the righteous life. Because just like harm always comes from sin in our lives, harm comes to us and to our relationships, good always comes into our lives from the righteous life, whether we notice it or not, because often we don't notice the good that comes from our submitting to God's will in our lives. But that's God's promise. So that's the first way that the Lord sometimes gives us a glimpse into the phoniness of sin's freedom. The second way is this, the sting of our own conscience. Because just like the harm of sin always catches up to us, the sting of our conscience always catches up to us as well. Yes, our sinful nature is wired to feel this kind of sense of freedom when we sin. But that false freedom always comes with the sting of conscience. And that's a gift of God. There's people out there in the world that will say, the conscience is something people made up. They'll say the conscience is this cultural construct just to keep people in line. It's made up and it's a manipulation tactic just to keep people behaving morally. But the conscience is not a cultural construct. The conscience is a gift of God. It's a gift to show us the freedom that we have from sin. It's a gift to show us the slavery of sin. It's a gift so that we would long for a better freedom. And both of these things, the harm that comes from sin and the sting of conscience, they leave us longing for a better freedom, true freedom. And that freedom is only found in Christ. Christ won our freedom when he made our sin his slave. When he let sin order him up on the cross, our sins. When he let sin crack its cruel whip of punishment unto death. When he obeyed sin's will and sin's wages, he became obedient to death. Here's the thing, though. When Jesus died because of our sins died with him. And when he rose from the grave, our sins stayed in the tomb. They stayed there dead when Jesus was alive. And it wasn't just our sins that died with Jesus and stayed in the tomb. In another way, all of us died with Jesus and stayed in the tomb with our sins. Here's how Paul put it a few verses before our lesson began. He said, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." That's how Paul can say, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. My sin is dead to me, and I'm dead to it. And if your master is dead, then no longer can your master place demands on you. If your master is dead, no longer can he boss you around. If your master is dead, no longer can he expect anything from you. I am dead to my sin, and my sin is dead to me. But I am alive to God in Christ. And so what that means is this: no matter how many times I've sinned, no matter what sins I've committed, no matter how alive my sin feels in my heart, it's dead. It died with Christ on the cross, and it stayed in the tomb. And I died with Christ in baptism. But when Christ was raised, he raised me right alongside himself. You know, this is the freedom that God wants us to know. Through Christ, I am alive to him. I'm freed from my sins. I want to be as clear as possible, though, about what it actually means that I'm free from sin. So I want to share this, highlight it in two ways, what it actually means that I'm free from sin. So first of all, I'm free from sin's guilt and condemnation. No longer can sin point the finger at me and say, guilty. No longer can sin point the finger at me and say, you deserve to die in hell. Because sin is dead. Sin is not my master. Sin has no right to speak to me anymore. That's the first way that I'm freed from sin. I'm freed from its guilt. The second way I'm freed from sin is I'm freed from sin's power and mastery over me. No longer can sin boss me around. I can resist sin. I can disobey sin. It's not my master. I can say no to sin, and I can say yes to righteousness. I can say yes to Christ, my new master. This is the true freedom that we have in Christ. This is the freedom God wants us to know. True freedom from sin. And not just freedom from sin, but freedom to live. Freedom to serve God and to serve others. You know, back in Old Testament times, an Israelite could sell himself into slavery to a fellow Israelite. Now, it sounds bad, but it's not like the same kind of slavery you think of when you think of our American Revolution. You know, this kind of slavery was intended to be a little more civil, a lot more civil. God had stipulations in his laws about if you were to sell yourself into slavery, your master had to treat you with respect. And that often happened. This slavery with Israelites, one to another, only could last 6 years, too. It was a temporary thing. It was not allowed to last more than 6 years. So on the seventh year, slaves were released. But here's what happened. Sometimes these Israelite masters would treat their Israelite slaves so well that they would want to stay on in service to their master. And so God knew that would happen, so he put his stipulations in his law about that. And here's what he said. If your servant says to you, I do not want to leave you, because he loves you and your family and is well off with you, then take an awl and push it through his earlobe into the door, and he will become your servant for life. What an awesome picture this is of our freedom under Christ, of the freedom that we enjoy under Christ our Master. Ours is not this forced servitude at the threat of punishment. Ours is a freedom to serve a Master who has set us free already. Ours is this willing service to one who has saved us from the sin that once condemned us. Ours is a freedom to serve him because we see how he loves us and how well off we are with him. Friends, let us rejoice in this true freedom that we have in Christ. We are free from sin and free to serve. Amen.